Good evening. This evening I want to discuss how we can be better examples of Christians with God's love in us, evident to those that are around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and our neighbors, our co-workers, and our family members. I begin the message in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. See part of Paul's instructions to Timothy. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul tells Timothy that as a young leader in the church, he is to be a model to others in the following way: by what he says, by what he does, by demonstrating true love, by a right spirit or attitude, by adhering to the truths of the Christian faith, and by maintaining moral purity and integrity. We are told in the scriptures that as Christians we are to be examples in many attributes. In Galatians, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, many different qualities all making up one fruit. It's a different message, but I want to borrow some of the parts of this fruit we could be thinking about as we try to become better examples of Christ. In patience, in self-discipline, in faithfulness, in joyfulness, and in seeking peace. Many of these qualities I need to improve, and I hope that we can all benefit by looking at what God has to tell us about each of them. Patience. I heard many times people jokingly say not to pray for patience, you know, implying that it allows God to give us more pain or suffering. We all want patience, but how do we obtain it? Patience in everyday living seems to be one of those most difficult attributes for humans to develop. Both my kids, around about 2 years old, struggled with patience as they tried to develop the basic hand-eye coordination. You know, simple tasks like taking your coat off or putting your coat on can be pretty frustrating. I remember Kenny one time, he came home with his coat and he wanted to take it off all by himself, but wasn't able to do it. And he insisted on doing it by himself, and the more he tried, the more frustrated he got. And it got to the point where he was screaming and laying on the floor in agony. You know, I think the same thing can happen to each of us. We can be so intent on trying to accomplish everything that when we can't reach our goal, we become frustrated and accomplish little. Not only are we frustrated and impatient with ourselves, but these feelings can spill over to our treatment of others, most especially the ones that we love. Our supreme example of patience, of course, is our Heavenly Father. He is our source and our most valuable example of patience, often called long-suffering in the Bible. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. I think you'll start in verse 10. Colossians 1:10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. I'll skip over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We Verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. In dealing with Old Testament people, God showed at every turn in history how patient or how long-suffering he was with human beings who constantly made mistakes. He allowed the people to get to the point in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord's intent was to destroy man from the face of the earth. But because Noah found grace in God's eyes, God exhibited patience with mankind and gave us another opportunity to do his will. All through the Old Testament history, we find examples of God's long-suffering attitude toward mankind. Because of those great examples, we should desire to become more godlike in this respect. But how do we accomplish this? One way that will help us be more patient is when we in Philippians 4:6, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. Prayer. Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. We obviously cannot have this kind of attitude. It takes much determination and purpose of heart on the part of the Christian for the Lord to instill patience within us. Bible study is also a great way to learn to be patient. We see the value of diligent Bible study in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. King James Version says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Job 23:12, Job left us a good example when he said, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How many of us have forgotten to eat today or any day? This helps us realize just how important the study of God's Word is for every individual. After prayer and study, we must apply that what we learn to everything that we say. We all live busy lives, but we must not get so wrapped up in the physical activities that we forget the blessings of what God has already given us. We need to take time out and thank Him for these blessings. Take time out to smell the roses. By applying the Scriptures to our lives, we can become more patient and long-suffering and thus be a better example for our friends and neighbors. Self-discipline. Thanksgiving was a couple weeks ago, and Christmas is approaching fast. I always struggle with self-discipline during this time of the year. Trina and I always try to spend time with both families during the holiday time. This year on Thanksgiving Day, we ate a late lunch, early dinner with my family, and then a late supper with Trina's family. Our goal is always to try to eat light so that we won't overdo it. Never works for me. What ends up happening is by the time I eat the first meal, I'm so hungry and everything looks so good and my plate gets all overloaded and so I don't want to miss out on anything. And then I go to the next meal and thinking, okay, I'm just going to sample a few things. Well, my sampling plate ends up just as big as the first plate. So I get pretty full, and then of course I got to have, you know, dessert. What's your Thanksgiving without pie? And so it's a great example of self-discipline. Not really, but that's not the kind of self-discipline we're talking about. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. The word disciplined is derived from the word disciple, which means learner. Webster defines self-discipline as correction of government of oneself for the sake of improvement. We each need to use self-discipline in correcting our shortcomings before the Lord. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Because we are God's workmanship, created to do good works, developing a strong self-discipline is imperative. Mastering self-discipline is certainly not the easiest task to perform, but it can be developed even if we have little in our lives now. Job is also an example in learning discipline. He suffered terribly in every walk of life, losing his family and all his possessions. Even his wife was a great discouragement to him. Rather than encouraging him to continue in faithfulness, she told him to curse God and die. Yet, though all through his suffering, Job refused to give up his faith in God. Job, late in his life, was blessed even more than before all his trials early in his life. Now, losing a few pounds after the holidays when we've overindulged is a sure indication that we can develop self-discipline. We just push back the plate a little earlier and do not eat as much. Now, we can also diet, which isn't too easy. Or we can take up exercise, which strengthens us physically. By the same token, we can develop self-discipline in taking care of our spiritual bodies. We can study God's Word regularly, thus making the spiritual body stronger by developing more faith. By learning and practicing the Word, we will develop the self-discipline necessary to be strong Christians. Just as the Lord watched over Job and blessed him in the end, we can have the confidence that if we draw near to God, James 4:8 says he will draw near to us. Faithfulness. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." How are we to be examples in faithfulness? I think when many people think of the word faithful, especially non-Christians, they think about how many times you've attended a church in the last week, or how many times you go every week. It is true that when our neighbors see us going to worship many times during the week, they may consider us faithful. In this respect, we are a good example to those who see us. However, if that is our whole concept of faithfulness, we fall far short of what the Lord expects. Yes, we must attend the worship services. Hebrews 10:5 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." But being faithful involves much more than attendance and worship. We may take a very active role in all aspects of church activities and yet be found inadequate before our Lord. Our desire should be that we are found faithful to God every day and not just on Sundays. Moses was considered faithful. Hebrews 3:5 says he was as faithful as a servant in all of God's house. In 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul thanked God that he had counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. There's a long list of Bible characters that are special to the Lord because of their faithfulness. The church in Rome was commended by Paul because of their obedience was evident to others. See that in Romans 16:19. You know what a great example they were to everyone around them. We need to show our faithfulness to the Lord by our dedication and obedience, just as Moses and Paul and others did. Then we can be examples in faithfulness. Joyfulness. How many of us are examples in joyfulness? How many of us look at that Krispy Kreme donut and just see the whole, you know, what a waste of a space? Or maybe it's a half cup of coffee, you know, is it half full or is it half empty? You know, the optimist, the pessimist. The optimist believes that God's, the good things of life outshine the evil. Conversely, the pessimist believes evil leaks everywhere. Surely as Christians, we should be optimistic, knowing Hebrews 12:2, we can look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We all have a reason to be joyous during this time of the year as we think of the birth of our Savior. The Bible relates this joyous occasion of Christ's birth. The angels sang tidings of great joy. The heavens lit up with a star. The star was in the east, allowing wise men to follow it, till it came and stood over where a young child was. When they saw a star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The story is found in Matthew chapter 2. Some of us, especially myself, need to improve on putting on a happy face. A happy face exhibits to the world our joy in the knowledge that Jesus died for us, and that He controls all things. A smile can replace sadness with joy. When a smile is present, the eyes light up, and the facial expressions show happiness and peace. Smiling truly is good for the soul. In Philippians 4:4, Paul encouraged the church to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I missed Daryl's message this morning, but I read the points that he had. Point number two was being examples to your children. You know, a happy home is where parents and loved ones continually rejoice in the Lord and concentrate on the bright and the good things of the world. You know, happy is the workplace when our fellow workers are Christians. Happy are the friendships that enjoy cheerful and joyous discussions rather than distasteful or sad things that are ever in the news broadcast. As Christians, we need to live before others as happy people who are not afraid to smile. Positive examples of happiness. You know, if other non-believers know that we are Christians and we are always having this depressed, poor me attitude, who's going to want to be a Christian? We must also be positive for our children. To show happiness, by our example, children will learn to be happy and to be productive individuals, joyously serving the Lord. Lastly, peace. Be an example in seeking peace. Everyone wants peace, right? Why is it such an elusive virtue? Why do so many people crave peace and yet continue to experience miserable lives? Isaiah 26, verse 3 tells us the answer. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. According to Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, when one keeps the commandments of God, long life and peace shall be added. That's the answer of our question. First, we must work to make our faith in God strong. We must believe that Christ is our peace. You see that in Ephesians 2, verse 14. It says Christ is our peace. Jesus made peace between the Jews and the Gentiles when he gave his life on the cross and abolished the law of Moses. Now, certainly, if he could do that, he can make it possible for us to have peace within ourselves. Second, Luke chapter 8, verse 11. The seed is the word of God. When the seed is planted in good and honest heart, the fruit is a Christian. As we thoroughly commit ourselves to live in submission to the word, we have obeyed, and all our personal feelings, desires, and purposes are molded. peace in life is the result. Third, our attitudes and actions. Ephesians 4:2-3, be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The result of such a life will bring peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. That's Isaiah 32:17. We must study God's Word diligently in order to find the peace that we seek. God has promised that when we keep His Word, when we study and obey, we will receive true inward peace. This week, and especially during this Christmas time, let's show others we belong to Christ. Let's make an effort to improve our Christian example to those that are around. To walk by the Spirit in patience and self-discipline, in faithfulness, in joyfulness, and in seeking peace with God's love in us. Thank you.